Absolutely awesome. Isn't God good again? God is good. All the time. There you go. You know, the morning of the big parade, a man and a little boy entered into a barber shop together. He said, "Give me the full treatment," the man said. I want to look good in the parade." After the man received a shave, a manicure, a haircut, he placed the boy in the chair and said, "I'm going to go buy a new tie to wear to the parade. I'll be back in a few minutes." When the boy's haircut was done, the man still hadn't returned, and the barber said, "Looks like your daddy forgot all about you." He said, "That wasn't my daddy." He said, he just walked up and took him by the hand and said, "Come on, son, you want to get a free haircut?" You got to think about it. Throw the book away. And that was a new page, too. I know I've been on this a lot. Let's see here. This ain't working here. There we go. I know I've been on this topic, and this is the fifth week of this topic. We've got one more week to go. And the reason I keep bringing this up is because we've had so many deaths, and with each death, you got to remember this, with each death, every time, anytime there's a death in the family, there is an interruption in the natural flow of things. And once that interruption of that natural flow is broken, there is a reestablishment of the flow. And so while you're trying to reestablish the flow, that broken flow, while you're trying to reestablish it, it gets kind of crazy because you don't know exactly how to punch in where and what. And so you have to let God do it. But as God is even doing it, you're not even sure where the flow is going to, which way the flow is supposed to be going now. So the church, like I said, has lost five. Jeannie and Don, they've lost a lot all around, but especially, Don lost both his parents and Jeannie lost a father. So again, the flow has been interrupted. Okay, so when the flow gets interrupted, it's so easy to try to put things back together, but a lot of times we put it back together wrong. So if you put it on your own, you're in trouble. You have to let God lead you. And that's so... I really believe that's why God told me about this focus, and there's 10 things, and so we're doing two at a time. So next week will be the last week, and I keep going back over the other ones every week. Shorter, not really long and drawn out like I did before when I put them up first time, because repetition. Remember, people say if you want to learn how to do something, keep repeating yourself. Let me tell you something. Repetition, but practice does not make perfect. Practice makes permanent. Doing it right every time makes it perfect. So, of course, this is the fifth week, and you're going to hear about more. I mean, ones we went through before, and two fresh ones today. But the reason you're doing that is because I really believe with all my heart that we need to get this in our head, but not just in our head. We need to drop it down into our heart. And once it goes from your head to your heart, then it goes out to your spirit. So it's very important. We've got it up here. Many times you'll say, "Well, I know of my head, this should be..." How many of you ever said that? "Well, I know of my head, but my heart." Okay? We need this in our head, in our heart. When your head and heart agree, then it'll flow to your spirit. And that's important. Because then it becomes a lifestyle. So get your Bible out, turn to Philippians. Let's all stand for the reading of the word. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. You got your Bible, say amen. You don't say on me? If you said on me, look right directly in front of it. There should be one in the pew. Philippians 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended," or I've not arrived yet, I'm not here yet, I've not got as far as I need to go, "I have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press. Somebody say press. That word press means literally to give it all you have and then some. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, for life. And I thank you, God, that although we have seemed to have passed on many people to you in this last few months, we know, God, that you already knew about this. You already prepared us for this, although we not necessarily knew that at the time. But you judge your faithfulness by looking back. If we look back, we can see how you prepared us for this. And I ask you right now, God, to help us to move forward, to keep our focus where it needs to be. In the name of Jesus, you're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. There's nothing beyond you. In the name of Jesus, we love you and we praise you. The church said, amen. On the way down, tell somebody the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing shall be impossible. Praise God. You can be seated. Now I'm just going to kind of recap some of the stuff. Of course, remember I've been talking about it all for this is the fifth week. Has your life ever been put in rebuild mode? You're thinking that things have been tore up, things have been destroyed, your life is never going to be the same. Well, you know what? Once your mind is expanded, it never goes back to where it was. Once your heart is expanded, it never goes back to where it was. Once your spirit is expanded, it never goes back to where it was. It's always in growth. There's always something amazing that happens. So God has put us in the rebuild mode because we've lost all these people. And a lot of people had key jobs and they did key things, if nothing more, because of their age. If they couldn't necessarily do something physical, they at least could give us advice and could lift us up and strengthen us. And I think about Brother Billy, up until just a few months before he died, he cut the grass all the time. He cut around here. Now Eddie took care of up in here, but Brother Billy took care of way on back here and around, you know, even at 90-something years old. It's just amazing to me the things that he did. But now it's all gone. So God uses the rebuild mode to draw us out of complacency and out of collapse, out of do nothing. And it draws out of us freshness and it furthers us into God and in His kingdom. So our focus, how many of your focus has unlimited value? Satan don't want you to realize that when we've got our focus, we've got our focus on, when we're looking at what we're doing. Peter stepped out of the boat, and as long as his focus was on Jesus, what did he do? He did the impossible. Man can't walk on water, especially in a storm. But because his focus was unbroken, he watched Jesus, he did the impossible. Some of us here right now, when we see the things that we have to pick up the torch and move forward, we wonder, how in the world are we going to do this? Keep your focus. Because once you get your focus on God, you can do the impossible. There's potential, there's power, and there's a position and an undivided focus. So here's the 10 things that we've been talking about. We're going to go through the first one very fast. So you get your roller skates on. Here we go. Oh, I love it. Here we go. Number one. God called you, and He didn't call you to this place right now in your life so that He can drop you. Amen. Philippians 1:6, I am convinced and I am sure of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will continue until the day of Jesus Christ, right up to the time of His return, developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you. That's number one. That was our first week. Number two, He will build His church. That's our power. Matthew 16:18. I tell you, you are Peter. Greek means Petros, a large piece of rock. And on this rock, a huge piece of rock, Petra, like Gibraltar, I will build my church, and the gates of hell, the powers of the infernal region, shall not overpower it or be strong to its detriment or hold out against us. Number one, He didn't call you this time in your life to let you go. And some of y'all have seen it just recently, how God came through for you, even when you didn't think you deserved it. How many? Amen? But He came through and showed you His power. Number two, He's building a church. It's not us. We don't have to worry, although we've lost all these people. We don't have to worry about how things are going to get done, because if we keep our focus on God and what we're doing, the kingdom, not everything around us, not everything behind us, but the kingdom, God's kingdom, He will build His church. And we ain't got nothing to worry about it. Number three, this is good stuff too. He did not promise to deliver you from the fire, but to walk with you through it. That's our protection. And that's our promise in His presence. Amen. He didn't promise to deliver you from it. Come on, somebody. He promised to walk through it with you. Now thus saith the Lord, He created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not. Let me just stop there for a minute. We talked about this the other week, but I need one more time. He calls him Jacob and He calls him Israel. He says, I created thee, O Jacob. Everybody in here has been created. But I formed thee, O Israel. I created thee, but in order to get you where I can use you, I'm going to have to form you. I'm going to have to put you on the potter's wheel. I'm going to have to put some things in your life that you don't necessarily like. I'm going to put you on that potter's wheel. And when I get you in that potter's wheel and you start spinning, you're going to think things are out of control, not realizing that things are not out of control. They're perfectly in His control, and He's reshaping you and molding you. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And that's Isaiah 43, 1 and 2. Now, Sister Dorothy, the week before she died, or the week that she died, she kept saying 432, 432, 432. And we don't know what she meant. We really don't. But we got looking it up, and Don found a scripture, 4, and verse 432. But I just saw this, 43 and 2. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. That gave me an assurance that even in her state that she was going through, she knew, hey, God's got this. Amen? Number four, there's more in store for your life and for your ministry. That's our potential. Hosea 10 and 4 says, break up the fallow ground in your heart. Now, isn't God so awesome? Here we go. We're getting close to the new stuff. All right. There it is. Oh, I didn't even realize I didn't even have it there. Here we go. Ready? Here we go. When you obey the voice of God, you are unstoppable. Wow. Let it sink in. When you obey the voice of God, you are unstoppable. So shall my word that goes forth out of my mouth, it shall not return to me void without producing any effect. It will not come back useless, but it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose, and it shall prosper in the thing which I have sent it. Isaiah 55 and 11. And number six, have courage, be strong, don't back down, or give it in to Satan and to his plan. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. Now that's what we've done all before now. Today we start another one. Ready? Look at that. Isn't that cool? I love that symbol. God is greater than all your highs and lows. Wow. I love it. God is greater. It's not Greek. That's just symbols. God is greater than your highs and your lows. So now here we go. Ready? I love it. God didn't call you because of your greatness. I just got to take my time on this. God didn't call you because your greatness, but He is. We slip and fall so many times because we think we come up short. God, how can you use me? How is it even possible for you to use me? God, look at me. And God says, I didn't call you because of who you are. I called you because whose you are. You're mine. I've got a reason for you. And whether you know it or not, whether you feel it or not, I know I've got a reason for you. And He's still great. Even at times that you may feel that you're not. How many times have you seen God come through when you didn't feel like you were able, when you didn't deserve it? He came through. Amen? I love this. 2 Corinthians 4 says, therefore we faint, therefore seeing we have this ministry as we received it, we faint not. Okay, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to wane away in this ministry. Why? Because we have this treasure in earthen vessels, in clay, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Wow. That's powerful. I'm nothing but a lump of clay. And there's so many times I want to say, God, I don't think I'm up to this morning. God, I don't think I'm up to this now. And God say, dude, you might not be up to it, but I am. Why don't you trust in me? How many times have you just stood there and didn't even know what to say, and all of a sudden something miraculous happened and you began to say things you didn't even know was going to come out of your mouth? Good things now. We also got the other way too. Amen. All right. Ask a shepherd boy as he stood over mighty Goliath. For 40 days and 40 nights, they were scared to death, and the biggest guy in the whole camp, Saul, would not go. Scared to death. And David comes up just bringing him lunch. And when he comes up, he sees, says, who is this guy that keeps threatening y'all? Let me at him. And Saul said, okay, go ahead. And I love it. He said, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I'm come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of armies, who you have defied. He says, he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He didn't look at the size of the opponent. He looked at his condition. He was an uncircumcised Philistine. He was not of the covenant, and David was. I think about it all the time when I go into the prison, when I go into the hospitals, wherever I go, I remember, God, I'm not doing this on my own strength. If I did it on my own strength, I'd go home and get in bed and cover my head. God's got this. God's got this. God's got this. Y'all say that. God's got this. Amen. And then think about as Joseph stood as prime minister over Egypt after being in prison for 10 years. Wow. In one day, I remember telling this to some guys. I don't tell every guy at the prison the same thing all the time because I just don't feel like that's the way to do it. I let the Holy Ghost lead me into what to say. But I remember one guy was telling me how he was looking at a whole bunch of time, and he said, dude, I'm not kidding. I did not do this. And I, of course, I hear that all the time, but he just had me convinced he hadn't done it. He said, there's no evidence to even prove it. And he went on. He said, but they're talking about a lot of time, 20, 30 years. And I told him, I said, do you remember the story about Joseph? He was lied on, and because he was lied on, he was put in prison for a crime he didn't commit, and it was going to be a life sentence. He said, yeah, but tell me about it. And so I began to tell him about Joseph and how he was doing good, but he got lied on. He got put to prison for sentence for rape and going into prison. And even at 8 years, when it seemed like they were going to get a chance, because he began to interpret dreams for the butler and the baker, the baker died, but there's no offense. The baker died, but the butler didn't. And so the butler's going to say, I'll go tell him, and he forgets. And so he's there 2 more years. So not only is he lied on in prison for something he did not do, but even when he got hope, the guy that was going to bring him hope forgot about him, and so now he's still in prison. But all in one day, he went, and he had chains. Psalm said he had chains on his legs. In one day, he went from chains and being on the ground to being prime minister of Egypt. The only person he had to answer to was Pharaoh. All in one day. And I told that guy that, and he goes, wow, that is awesome. I said, well, you just believe that when you go in there. And I said, oh, here's something else I told him. I said, I want you to thank God for divine favor under your breath. I said, stand up straight. Do not slouch. Do not make any gestures like you bad to the bone. And I said, it's yes, sir, no, sir. And I said, and you just keep thanking God for divine favor, and you watch what happens. I said, you're going to be a Joseph. And when I came back the next time, he said, dude, I'm just about ready to go. I said, where are you going, to prison? He said, no, they gave me time served. God's got this. God's got this. Amen. So, God didn't call you because of your greatness, but because of His. Amen. And, you know, I sit back and I think about Bethany. We were just talking about her this morning, how I said, I sure hope that if I ever found myself in that catastrophic of a situation, I could have the grace and the poise of Bethany Linton. I mean, I go in there now, I go in the house, and of course, the other day a car passed me. And when the car passed me, it was some teenager. When the car passed me, the person in the back turned around and looked at me and even kind of waved. And I said, Bethany? And for just that split second, she weren't dead. And I'm thinking, what is she doing in that car? And I said, that's not Bethany. But still, you know, God just keeps letting me get little glimpses that she's okay. Everything's fine. You know, in that chair she's sitting all the time in the dining room, we have her teddy bear that was sitting up here. That teddy bear's right there. And I walk in there and see that teddy bear, and I see her urn over here. And I decide, I know you're with God, girl. I know everything's okay. And in the living room, in her other chair, we have Max. Y'all, how many of us ever seen Max, the monkey? The big sock monkey, the life-size sock monkey. Anybody ever seen it on Facebook? Linda's life-size sock monkey named Max. We had Max sitting in her chair. Because Bethany loved Max too, so Max was sitting in that chair. And so I just decided that you know what, I'm not gonna just keep talking about it was so bad, because I know it was bad. I'm gonna start saying, God, let me have the grace and poise that Bethany had, no matter what comes my way. Let me have it. And so again, listen. God did not call you because you were great. Say this. God did not call me because I'm great. He calls me because He is. Amen. And then finally, getting knocked down in life is a given. Getting up and moving forward is a choice. I said the other day, God doesn't count how many times you get knocked down. He counts how many times you get up. Amen. The Bible says a righteous man get knocked down seven times, he'll still get back up. He'll rise. Amen. So watch this. Here we go. This next week's going to be the finish of this. Here we go. Listen. The problem will not destroy you. This problem you're going through right now is not going to destroy you. Y'all say God's got this. Yes. I've been giving away a bunch of these Team Bethany and God's got this. But then I got the other one because cancer patients, it just says on one side, it says, God's got this. The other side, it says, either way I win. And so I've been giving them to cancer patients and people that have been going through things. And again, I look at it every day. There's two things I do every day. Don't think this is morbid. This is not morbid. This is healing. It's called repetitive therapy. You use it for PTSD and for CTSD. Every day, I look at Bethany's. I don't mean stare at it and cry and weep. I just look at it so I know it's there. And I'll start out the day with this. I look at Bethany's obituary every day. I don't stop and read it all. I don't stop and grope and mourn over it. I just look at it and I say, she's gone to a better place. Thank you, God, that she's there with you. And every morning when we pray, my wife and I pray, we used to pray every morning, tell us, Lord, how to help Bethany, how to talk to the doctors, how to lead her through this thing. We thank you for healing. Now every morning, now we say, thank you, God, that you've got Bethany with you, and she's totally healed, and she's got every need met. And so, again, is it sad? Yes, it's sad, but it's easier to get through it knowing that God's got this. Amen? God's got this. So now, this problem is not going to destroy you. 2 Corinthians 4, 8, 9 says, we are hedged in, pressed on every side, troubled and oppressed in every way, but not cramped or crushed. We suffer embarrassments. Anybody ever suffer any embarrassment? I just got to open my mouth and I embarrass myself. Y'all need to ask me sometime. Just sometime, not now, but sometime, you know, in the last couple of weeks, like at Subway. Y'all need to... So just, I'll tell you later on. All right. We suffer embarrassments, and are perplexed and unable to find a way out, but not driven to despair. We are pursued, persecuted, and hard driven, but we're not deserted to stand alone. We are struck down to the ground, but never struck out and destroyed. God never said ever that you would not get hurt. How many's ever been to the Smashed Waffle? Is it called Smashed Waffles in Greenville? We found this place out when Bethany was in the hospital. They make little waffles about that big around, and they're called Smashed Waffles on Dickinson Avenue. And they have all kinds of, I got chicken and waffles there the other night, the little waffle sandwich, that big around with chicken in it. It was absolutely awesome. And when I was there, I was sitting there looking at the menu, and I saw something called a hot shot. It was a big old shot glass here. And I looked in, I said, what's in the hot shot? And they said, read it. And it was two shots of espresso, and then it had ghost pepper syrup, and it had cayenne pepper spread over top of it. And they said, people like it. They try it. You ought to try it. And I said, I think I want to try it too. And I said, my wife's on the way, but I'm going to tell you, she's either going to say, dear, don't do that, or she's going to say, that's stupid. I said, more than likely, she's going to say, that's stupid. And so she comes up, we're looking at the menu, and I go, look at that. She goes, and? I said, I want to try that. And she said, honey, that's stupid. And I looked at all the guys. I said, see, I told y'all what she'd say. They said, you're right. And so Linda says, honey, why don't you just buy the cup and carry it home? I said, do you remember the problem they were having with all these guys during wartime? They come over, some of those guys were never in the service, or either they were in the service but never went overseas, and they got purple hearts and bronze stars and stuff like that, and they were wearing them, although they did not earn them, and that's called stolen valor, and that is against the law. She said, yeah, what's that got to do with you being stupid drinking this stuff? I said, if I bought that cup and set it up on that shelf and never tasted it, I'd be guilty of stolen valor. And she said, I don't know how y'all guys think. If y'all want to see it, it's on her Facebook page. She filmed me, and I took that thing down. I said, I'm ready for it. Two shots of espresso, ghost pepper syrup, and cayenne pepper. And I think it had to be more than a shot glass. Because I thought I poured it all down the first time, and I still had two more gulps. But when I did, it was like somebody had poured gas in my mouth and lit it on fire. He went all the way down, and Linda's laughing, and I went looked at Linda, and I went, I got my breath back, and I finished it down again. And after I got through with the other two shots and finished it off, I had hiccups for about 10 minutes. My body was saying, are you stupid? But like I told Linda, I said, see, that stuff ain't going to kill you. And I'm not going to have been accused of stolen valor having a cup and never tasted of that powerful stuff. Well, the same way, that's how I feel about my Christian life. That's exactly how I feel about it. Is I'm not going to be guilty of stolen valor and stand up and say, look at all the things I've done and done nothing. And all the things you've been through nothing. God, let me just go ahead and as we go through these things, I want you to be there. I want to be there holding your hand. I want you to show me what to do, God. You be there, and no stolen valor. We're going to go through this, and we're going to go through it together, God. And I believe that you're going to take me places that I never could have gone on my own, and I'm not going to be guilty of just being an armchair quarterback or just being sitting back in a rocking chair and talking about how it used to be. No, now. Now, these problems that you're going through, they will not kill you. They're not going to destroy you. God's got this. Amen. Amen. So watch this, and then we're getting ready to close. Brandon, get ready, bro. Here's our favorite ending. You have to keep your focus through the pain to get to those gains. Amen. Don't focus on the problems, because if you focus on the problems, all you're going to think about is the pain. And the panic. You know, they did an experiment. They took buckets of ice, and they took people and stuck them in buckets of ice, their feet barefooted, stuck in buckets of ice. And they couldn't last no more than a couple of seconds. Their feet would start hurting and burning, and they'd have to come out. But if somebody was there encouraging them, they could stay there unlimited amount of time because somebody was there saying, you can do it, you can do it, you got this, come on, let's go, let's go, let's go. Well, you know what? We don't need to focus on the problems. We need to focus on the promise. Amen. And know that God's right there. And He's telling us, and our friends are telling us, don't you worry. You focus on the promise. And when you focus on the promise, there comes the power. And when God shows up in His power, you'll find peace. Amen. God's got this. God's got this. Focus. Focus. Come on up here, Brandon. Focus. Y'all remember, I loved it on the Karate Kid. Focus, Daniel-san. Focus, Daniel-san. Focus, Daniel-san. If you keep your focus, no matter what comes your way, watch what God will do. Let's all stand. Everybody stand. When nobody's looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed. It grieves my heart that we've had so many losses. And it grieves my heart for Don and Jeannie because of the closeness of those that they lost. It grieves my heart for the church because Dorothy and Billy and Mary and Kathleen and Bethany were so powerful in this church. And it's okay to grieve. It's okay to hurt. But just don't let that become your life. You can't build a memorial and stay there. You know why when Moses died, God hid his body? First, he died. He was not a weak man. He was just like he was in his earlier years. I believe God did that so the people could still lean on Him, but at the same time wouldn't have to lift Him up. But then, when He died, He was hid. The reason He was hid is because God's people had to move forward, and they would have stayed at the shrine, not the memorial, but the shrine of Moses. It would have become a shrine, and so God hid Moses. Because the people needed to move forward. Yes, we got a lot of loss. Yes, we have a lot of hurt. Yes, there's a lot of pain. Yes, there's a lot of grief. And it's okay. But move through that grief. And matter of fact, in a couple of weeks, we're going to start it here, Live Now, Live Strong. That'll help you get through grief too. If you're here today, every head bowed, every eye closed, and say, Pastor, I'm really having a hard time. I can't keep my focus because of all the things that's been happening. I just, every time I think we're going to slow down, here comes something else. And every time I think we're going to settle down, the smoke clears. Before the smoke clears, here comes something else. And I just need help with my focus. I need God to help me concentrate on His promises versus the problem. I'm talking to you with nobody looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed. But would you put the hand up? Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. I need to quit focusing on the problem. I got to focus on the promise. Let's all pray together. Lord, help me. Out loud, y'all. I want to hear y'all. Lord, help me to put my eyes on Your promise versus the problem. I will acknowledge there is a problem. I will not hide it nor sweep it under the rug. It is there. But Your promise is greater than anything. And I trust You. And I give it to You right now in the name of Jesus. Help me keep my focus in front of me, looking at you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know, it's funny how after Moses died, when Joshua was going to have to take over, he told Joshua, don't look beside you. Don't look behind you. Look straight ahead. And he said, meditate on my word day and night, meaning don't let it out of your sight. You think about it. Think about what he said. Take his promise, because if you don't take his promise, you're going to be devastated by all the problems. You got to keep your focus on what God is doing in front of you. Amen? We're not going to have service Tuesday night because it's 4th of July week. No service Tuesday night. But we'll be back here on Sunday and the following Tuesday. There's two more weeks, one or two more weeks on the perfectionism. And then we're going to go in, live now, live strong. It'll be a sign out on the road, live now, live strong. It's going to be at least 8 weeks. It's going to be beneficial. If you're having problems with PTSD, CTSD, you're having problems with mourning, grief, you're having problems with sadness of anything, depression, you have problems with even some addictions, it'll help you. It will help you move forward. That's not that. Listen, this is not easy to say this because you're going to say, well, you said it was going to help and it didn't, but it's a promise. If you follow what you're getting ready to hear, if you follow it and do what you're told, it's not a guarantee, but I promise you, it'll help you. Amen? Brother Larry, you dismiss us in prayer. I was saying, Brother Burton, you dismiss us in prayer. I haven't been able to do that in so long, and there he is. Yes, sir, bro. Go ahead.